During your time in the anti-Islamic organization, was there a perception of Palestine imposed on you?
I once was sitting with a friend of mine. Her father was one of the generals on our army base. We were talking about the simple fact, why don't we just go annihilate them, just bomb them to death? And his answer to her was...
Do you think Israel will win?
They realized that they are fighting for something that is not true. The problem with the American army and with most armies around the world is that they have no psychological or spiritual strength. They're afraid of the next generation growing up and coming back for revenge, like the generation that exists today. As a man to walk around carrying his children in a bag, pieces of his children in a bag. And this means that you do not have any psychological power over them. What's happening in the United States, turn on TikTok and see all these people, Quran circles of non-Muslims, people accepting Islam. This is a victory of Allah.
Is the American army really powerful? Why is the American army fighting in Israel? What is promised to American soldiers?
Honestly, truly, they have a military strength. They have weapons. They have training and ability. So in this way, yes, they are strong. The problem with the American army and with most armies around the world is that they have no psychological or spiritual strength. They have no base to stand upon. How many of the American soldiers, they come back and they've literally given back their awards, their medals, because they realized that they are fighting for something that is not true. They are taught something, they are given a sense of patriotism, but then they find out that no, you're not fighting for freedom. You're not fighting for democracy. In reality, you're fighting for the powerful to be more powerful, the wealthy to be wealthier, the greedy people who are in control, in command, to continue to have the wealth, the power, the status, etc., that they have. There is no strength. There is no moral base. There is no ethical foundation. There is nothing within the soldier to say that what I am doing is right. And as a result, they will come home with psychological problems, and many of them will end up killing themselves because they realize they killed for no reason. So that strength is only with those who believe in Allah and believe that what they're doing is for the sake of Allah.
Do you think Israel will win?
Allah has told us that there will be battles with the Jews, and that these battles, some of them we will win and some of them we will lose. I don't know which one this is, so I cannot answer that. There's a lot of protests going on in the United States. There's a lot of people that are pro-Palestine. There are people opening the Quran and reading the Quran and learning Islam. And this is a victory. This is a victory of Allah. I honestly believe those people who have suffered in Gaza, the ones who have died, if they want to come back to this earth, it's only to die again for the sake of Allah. They're happy where they are. They have reached their goal. The victory has already begun. What's happening in the United States, what's happening in Europe, what's happening around the world, turn on TikTok and see all these people, Quran circles of non-Muslims, people accepting Islam right and left. That is victory. It's not the victory that you and I may have conceived, but it is a victory. It is Allah opening the doors and the hearts of the people to worship Him. And to me, that is one of the greatest victories that we can have.
How do you assess the lack of persecution, of disproportionate violence by soldiers in Palestine, even against babies?
Somewhere, somehow, there has been agreement in the West, go ahead, get rid of them. Get rid of them all. Let us have what we want or call our security. The Americans believe that Israel in the Middle East is a security. It is something that stops the Muslims. Gorbachev once said that nations do not die. You might try to destroy them. You might try to get rid of them. He said, nations do not die. They survive and they remember. So why are you killing the babies? Because you want to make sure that they do not remember, that there's nobody left to fight back. I killed your father. I killed your mother. I'm going to have to kill you because you're going to grow up and you're going to try to come back for revenge. So they are afraid of this. They're afraid of the next generation growing up and coming back for revenge, like the generation that exists today. They are the survivors. They have not forgotten, and they will continue to remember, and there will always be survivors, and there will always be people coming back to Allah. And this they will never be able to stop, no matter how much they try.
What is the true fate of the American-Israeli friendship?
One part of it is completely economic. Another political thing is that The Israeli Zionist lobby is very strong in the United States, and it's anybody who is political and has said anything against the Zionist entity, against Israel, against the Jews. If you say anything against them, they literally will destroy your political career. They will destroy your business. They make sure that nobody speaks against them, and they have the money, they have the media campaign, they have everything that they need, and it's been in effect for a very long time. For, you know, I would say over 100 years, they have been working upon this. And that is a second level. A third level for the religious Christians and the religious Jews, there is, of course, the idea of the return of the Messiah. I don't consider it between the Christians and the Jews a friendship, but more frenemies. In other words, I think both of them think that they're using the other. The Christians believe for Isa alayhi salam to return, like I said, that the temple has to be rebuilt. And this temple, where do they believe it is? Exactly where Aqsa is. So the Muslims are standing in the way. The second thing is the Jews, they believe that in order for their Messiah, who they don't believe has come, which we know is Isa alayhi salam, to come, they need to rebuild the temple. So the Christians think we will help them to rebuild the temple, then we will destroy it, then Isa alayhi salam will come. And we're talking about the very highly religious. And the Jews, they believe that the temple will be rebuilt and their Messiah will come, who again, we, as I said before, is Isa alayhi salam. So there's many different levels to this. Many of the people that are not, that created the entity of Israel, the Zionist entity, many of the people who created this were not religious Jews. They were atheists. They were secularists. They did not believe in the religious place. They wanted to make a place of a cultural Jew homeland, and they utilized the idea of religion. They utilized the religious people. They think that somehow they can force Allah to bring their Messiah. They can force the Day of Judgment to come to be. And this is, again, those who are religious. Those that are not religious, they want to rebuild what they consider to be the original land, their original holy land. And this is step one. And they will push out to Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and parts of Saudi Arabia and incorporate them. And nobody is stopping them because there is a huge weakness within the Muslim Ummah. We are attached to the life. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he promised us that this was coming, that we would be attacked as if we were trotters at a meal.
Why is the West afraid of Islam?
They recognize that when Muslims believe in Allah, when Muslims put their faith in Allah, when Muslims attach their heart to the akhirah, to the other world, and not to this world, they're undefeatable. I once was sitting with a friend of mine. Her father was one of the generals on our army base. She and I were in a classroom, and it was at a time when the Iranians had taken over the American embassy in Iran. And we were talking about the simple fact, why don't we just go annihilate them, just bomb them to death? I wasn't a Muslim. I didn't know Islam. And she said, I just discussed this with my father last night. And his answer to her was, when America and the West wants to destroy people, they make them afraid of annihilation. They make them afraid of death. The problem is that when Muslims have fear of Allah and they have faith and they have a belief in the afterlife and they want to reach the afterlife in a way that Allah is pleased with them, then they are ready to die for the sake of Allah. And this means that you do not have any psychological power over them. There is no terror. There is no fear. So you cannot control them. So your only recourse is to annihilate them. And they have tried so many different ways, trying to curtain them into what Lauren Booth calls a concentration camp, an open concentration camp, what is considered an open prison, into Gaza. They've tried everything that they can, and it's not working. And they now realize the only thing that will work is to get rid of every single Muslim on earth, starting with the ones that are in the way of the Messiah coming, starting with Gaza, starting with Palestine.
In Europe, as you know, nowadays, the relevance of Islam has increased because of the persecution in Palestine. What do you think about this?
Europe, there has been an uptick in interest about Islam. And in the United States, in South Africa, in Nigeria, in Japan, all over the world, there has been a desire to know what is this religion that makes a person say, oh Allah, and not why Allah? What is this religion that allows a man to walk around carrying his children in a bag, pieces of his children in a bag? What is this religion that allows him to do this while worshiping and praising Allah? People are curious. People are having their hearts open. They're opening the Quran. They're listening to SubhanAllah lectures about Islam. They're learning about this beautiful deen, and they are being guided by Allah as a result of all of this. Again, I believe this is one of the greatest victories of what's happening to the people of Gaza. He's bringing the people in droves. He's letting people know what is Islam. The march in Washington is something unprecedented. They haven't been able to get anywhere this many people together for one cause. The real, true victory is going to be the opening of the hearts and the growth of al-Islam and the knowledge in the people that Islam is true, that Allah is the one true God. La ilaha illallah. That is going to be the victory, as I said before.
During your time in the anti-Islamic organization, was there a perception of Palestine imposed on you?
Actually, the group had no connection that I know of to Palestine. It wasn't something that I talked about. However, during my studies at the university, we did take a lot of courses on the Israeli-Palestinian issues, and we went over the history and so forth.
So what do you think about the misconceptions or stereotypes about Islam among the public that you would like to eliminate?
I had the ability to clear up misconceptions about Islam. One of the first things I would do is, of course, I would try to get people to understand that Islam is not an oppressive religion, that Islam is not a religion where everything's forbidden, everything is not allowed, that you are stuck in this little cage and there's no happiness, there's no peace, there's no fun. This is not true. My cousin became a Muslim, and when he became a Muslim, he said, I never felt peace like the peace I felt the first time I prayed. I wish I had known about this before. Islam is a religion that, yes, there are things that are not allowed. There are things that we can't do, but they are things that lead to misery in this life, things that lead to problems. If you had a manual for the human body, if you had a manual for life, which is what I believe the Quran to be, it would be something that it tells you what is the best way to utilize this machine that is the human being so that you have the least amount of problems. I would like them to understand this part about Islam, to understand the brotherhood, the sisterhood, to understand the family life, to understand relationships between human beings, to understand that there are things that can harm us and we should avoid them. We should avoid those things that harm us. And the Quran is a manual on those things which will keep us safe, will keep us happy, will keep us at peace. That's the misconception I would love to take away from those who don't understand Islam.
As someone who used to do an anti-Islamic work, what percentage of media coverage of Islam do you think is inaccurate?
I would say at this point, it's 90% of standard media. The beautiful thing, so many people have been upset over, oh, social media, this is something that's going to harm everyone, is able to do anything because of the fact that we have this. We have phones. We have telephones that have cameras on them. We have videos. We have internet. We have every single way of showing the truth. They can no longer hide it. And this is why there is so much anti-Zionist propaganda out there, so much anti-Zionist people standing up and saying, no, this is wrong, because the media is saying one thing, but the internet is showing the reality. Allah has opened another door, another way. So I think that your normal media, most of them are lying. But alhamdulillah, there are other outlets now. There is a different ability to see the truth, and the truth is there, and the truth is easy to find, and the truth is, subhanallah, clear. People are seeing the reality. And again, that's one of the reasons why I think we have so many pro-Palestinians out there nowadays, why we have so many people turning to the Quran, so many people learning about Allah, about Islam, about the truth, about reality. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, this is something they will not be able to stop. This is something they will not be able to control, because they themselves, open the internet to be something for everyone so that nobody can stop the flow of the information, nobody can stop the flow of truth, and the truth is out there and it's clear, and alhamdulillah, it is the time.